We continue our learning Le'ilui Nishmas Tavi ben Menachem Arush Nechaim Yaakov ben Binyachov Shel Eliyahu. We are in Rosh Hashanah, Perek Dalid, Mishnah Ches. Shofar Shel Rosh Hashanah Ein Ma'avir Nolav Esatchum. So we'll take the first halacha. Coming to tell us that you can't be Mechalel Yom Tov because of Tkiyah Shofar, even if it's an Issur Derabbanan. So take Tchum Shabbos. Going past the Tchum, according to most, is an Issur Derabbanan, although Rishonim hold that going a Tchum Shabbos, we assume, is 2,000 Amos past past the city's limits. If you go beyond the 2,000 Amos, you're already past the Tchum. And others say Tchum Shabbos is 12 mil, which is a lot more than that. So each, which is 12 times that amount, that could be Tchum Shabbos. Either way, and that may be Doraisa. But either way, even if Tchum is Darabanan, you're not allowed to carry the shofar past the Tchum to go beyond the Tchum to bring the shofar in order to hear the Tkios. And the reason for that is that the mitzvah of shofar, it's true, is a mitzvah saseh, but resting on Yom Tov is both an aseh and a lo taseh, and an aseh cannot override an aseh and a lo taseh. It says, b'chodesh ha-shvii b'chod ha-chodesh yelochem shabbason. That is the positive commandment to rest and not do malacha. And the lo taseh is kol melech ha-sabad lo sa'asu. So the aseh can't override an aseh and a lo taseh. This should only apply to Doraisa. So the Ran says, the chachamim asu chizuk l'divrayim kishel Torah. They tried to strengthen their piskei halacha like Torah rules. And since tkiyah shofar is not docha malacha midoraisa, it's not docha ushvus derabanan either. What else can you do? Vein mefakach malav esagal. You have a shofar, let's say, is under a rubble, so to move the stones is moving muktzah. You're not allowed to move the stones to get the shofar to do the mitzvah. Not allowed. Lo olin ba'ilin, we've had this in Beitza. You're not allowed to climb a tree, which is an issur derabanan, because you may pull off a branch. You see the shofar's on a tree, you're not allowed to go up the tree to get the shofar. Of a low roch and agave behema. You have a person, let's say, can't walk, he's sick, and he wants to hear the tkios, he wants to ride on an animal in order to hear the tkios. Not allowed. Velo shatan aplanei amayim. You're not allowed to literally float on water. You can't swim on water. We're afraid of that you may make a raft. It has some type of flotation device. Vein chotzchen oso, bein bedavar shu mishum shvus, uvein bedavar shu mishum lo tase. And you're not allowed to cut the shofar. Why would I cut the shofar? Well, let's say I want to first of all cut off the animal's head. So that could be a problem. That would be a tolda. That would be an issur derisa of gozes, right? Removing hair, removing nails, removing something for the hide from an animal. That would be considered gozes. But not only that, you can't even make it clean inside to fix it. That would be makeh bepatish. That putting the finishing touches on an object on a kli is also not allowed. So you're not allowed. So, as the Mishnah here says, ein chotchin oso beim bedavar. So you can't cut it off the animal's head. You can't scrape it. And that would be true whether it's a shvus or a lo taseh. Where would there be a shvus? Where would be a lotasa? So the Baruch Tuner says, what's a shvus? Could go lechatcho besakin. He said, if I cut it with a knife, that would be considered a derabanan. And what's a lotasa? Could go lechatcho b'megera. If I use like a saw, dahavye malacha gemura shel harishas eitz. That would be considered an absolute malacha. That would be a lo tase. And there are those who learn the opposite, he says. He says, using a saw, which people don't normally use for something like this, that would be the shvus. And using a sakin, using a knife, that's orchayu, that's normal, and that would be an isser d'orai, and that would be the isser d'orai. So different opinions how to understand what the Mishnah here means, but either way, I'm not allowed to cut the shofar off the animal. I can't fix the shofar either. But this would be either, and whether it's the oraisa or the rabbanan, it's still not permitted. Avol imrotz alitein lesochu mayim o yayin. But you want to clean it out. The sound may be a little bit better. So to put some water or wine inside, yitein, that's allowed on Rosh Hashanah, and that's not considered a tikkun kli. Why is that a tikkun kli? So there are those who say, I'll tell you why. Rinsing it, no one really notices. No one really notices that it's repaired, even though it happens to be fixed. But that's what the Mishnah Berurah seems to say, and that's why that is that would be permitted. And then the Mishnah says, "Ein ma'akvin es hatinokos milit koa." There's a lot of discussion on this. We don't withhold children from blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. But rather, we will busy ourselves with them until they learn how to do it. So this is a lot to talk about here. We'll just mention a couple of things. Here is obviously the mitzvah of chinuch, and we want to help train children in order to learn how to blow the shofar. This is something that the Mishnah is allowing not only before Rosh Hashanah, which obviously would be a good idea how to teach them, but even on Rosh Hashanah itself. So not only does it say ein ma'akvin, do we not hold them back, which means that we allow them, these children, to pick up the shofar and blow, and we don't hold them back. Let's say when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, we try to avoid our children doing malacha. But not only that, the Gedolim are allowed to help them in order to teach them. And the Gemara even says, Afilu b'Shabbos. Afilu b'Shabbos. So that's very strange, because we don't even blow the shofar on Shabbos. And yet the Ran says, it's speaking about Rosh Hashanah Shachal b'Shabbos. Even on Shabbos, maybe we don't blow the shofar, but we're allowed to be misasek with the children and help them learn how to blow. And the Yishalmi says that it's, in fact, it's Davka on Shabbos of Rosh Hashanah that we allow them to do that. On a regular Shabbos, no. When it says Afilu b'Shabbos, it doesn't mean any Shabbos. It means Shabbos of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, that would be okay, because at least on a Doraisa level, the mitzvah exists. However, interestingly, from the Rambam, it seems the opposite, that regular Shabbos, you're allowed to do this with the children. That's not Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah Shachal b'Shabbos, we're very strict about not blowing the shofar. But maybe a regular Shabbos, since we say it's only a chachma v'ein a malacha, maybe that's something that we would allow. Different explanations for how the Rambam could hold that way. And there's also some discussion about what kind of children we're talking about in the Mishnah. Rashi assumes that the children have reached the age of chinuch, and therefore we have an obligation to be mechanech them. And that's why not only do we not withhold the shofar from them, but we also can busy ourselves with them. However, the Brice in the Gemara says we're speaking about ketanim that have not reached the age of chinuch. That's why we don't hold them back. That's why we allow them to use the shofar. But those types of children, that line applies to them. Ein ma'akvin esatinos with koa. To be misasek imahin with children that have not reached the age of chinuch. So that we're not allowed to do. And some hold the opposite, that it's only dafka ketanim who have not reached the age of chinuch that we're allowed to be misasek with them, teach them to kim to shofar. In fact, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Shofar Perek Beis Halacha Zayin, and I quote, Hatinokos shelo higiu lechinuch. Ein ma'akvin osan militkoa b'Shabbos she'ena yom tov shel Rosh Hashanah. Interesting. First of all, it's a regular Shabbos, not Shabbos of Rosh Hashanah. K'dei she'ilmadu. And not only that, these younger children haven't reached the age of chinuch. Umutter, says the Rambam, legadol. It's mutter for a gadol. Mutter legadol, says the l'sheis asik gimani k'dei she'lelamdan. And Bayom Tov, says the Rambam, though, Bein Katan Shigi Lechinuch, Bein Katan Shalugi Lechinuch. So then, that's okay, even if the child has reached the age of Chinuch, where the Rambam was strict when it came to Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah, that's not Shabbos, that's okay. Shat Kia Eina Asura Lemishum Shavos. Okay, and then the Mishnah ends with the following. Vahamis Asek, one who literally busies oneself with the Tkia shofar, means he's practicing to blow shofar. He's not doing it for the mitzvah. Lo yatsa, you don't fulfill your obligation even if you blew the proper Tkios, because you didn't have the proper kavana. Vahashomeh Minamis Asek, even if someone's listening and that person listening has in mind to be yotze, it doesn't matter. Lo yatsa, because the halacha is that the person who's blowing, not only does the person who's listening have to have kavanah to be yotzei, the person who's blowing has to have kavanah to discharge other people's obligation. Now, what misasek means is a very important question. Why? Because misasek, let's say in Hilchos Shabbos, usually means someone who's completely oblivious to what he's doing. Let's say someone runs into the wall, is pushed into the wall by accident, turns on the light. That's misasek. It's not like he was busy, he forgot it was Shabbos, not shogeg. I forgot it was Shabbos, I didn't know this malach was also. No, completely busy doing one thing, and then ends up doing something, doing a malacha. So here too, when it comes to misasek, here we're talking about someone who's blowing the shofar. So then misasek would mean, and according to it means that someone's, oh, I'm playing around with the shofar. Now, if you're telling me that a person is really practicing for the mitzvah, so that's one thing. Let's say someone's just misasek, just playing around with the shofar. So would we say that he's yotzei the mitzvah? He blew the right kolos. So we say he's yotzei the mitzvah. The Gemara says on Daf Lamed Gimel that it's implied from the Mishnah that only when you're blowing with what? I'm practicing, I'm playing around, I'm playing out practice. I have no obligation, meaning I know here that either I'm playing around with the shofar, or let's say I know I'm practicing, but I'm not practicing, meaning I'm not thinking maybe I'll be yotzei with the mitzvah. I'm saying I'm practicing. What does practicing mean? I do have in mind not to be yotzei. That's one way to understand practicing. That's one way to understand misasek. So misasek is worse than just blowing the shofar with no kavana in mind. Here I have negative kavana. I'm practicing means I have absolutely no intent whatsoever to be yotzei the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, well, that's true. That misasek is not yotzei. When I have in mind to practice, I don't want to be yotzei. It's Rosh Hashanah now. And I'm still saying I am not being yotzei right now. I'm just practicing. That implies that if I'm not saying I'm not being yotzei, and I just blow without thinking anything, then maybe I will be yotzei, because that's not negative kavana, that's just no kavana. And therefore, that would show the mitzvos ein srichos kavana. The Gemara, therefore, of course, has to defend the position that held mitzvos need kavana, mitzvos srichos kavana, by saying that if a person who's practicing, as we first thought, is not negative kavana, that's no different than a person who's just playing with the shofar also. We would call that neutral kavana, and therefore it's possible the Mishnah is saying that, yeah, you're not yotzei when you're misasek, but when are you yotzei? If you really have kavana, and maybe mitzvos really tzrichos kavana. Now the halacha is that we should have kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah of shofar, and the Rambam writes that Hilchos Shofar Perek Beis Halacha Dalet. The problem is that many ask this question on the Rambam's opinion in Hilchos Chametz Umatzah in the sixth parak, where he says if someone stuffs matzah down your throat, you're yotzei. Don't you need kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah? How do you reconcile that with halacha when it comes to shofar that you need kavana, and by matzah it sounds like you don't need kavana? And one of the famous answers that's offered is the following, is the fact that there's a difference between when you're getting hanah. When you're getting hanah, I'm getting, you can't deny the fact that I swallowed matzah. So therefore, that doesn't need kavana. But when it comes to shofar, where you have a mitzvah, or a mitzvah of dibur, a mitzvah of listening, so there, you can only be yotzei if you have kavana. Perek Dal and Mishnah Tes, the last Mishnah in the Masechta. A seder tkios shel shalosh. This mishnah is a little bit confusing. We're speaking about the tkios, and the tkios that we blow are shalosh shalosh. What does it mean? Well, we blow three times. The first time for Malchios, the second for Shofros, the third time for Shofros. This is, of course, referring to the main tkios, which are done during the Shmona Esrei, during Chazaras HaShatz. And each time we blow for Malchios, Zichonis and Shofros, we blow three times. That's what it means. Shalosh, it's for Malchios, Zichonis, Shofros, but shalosh, means each one gets three tkios. A tkia, true tkia for Malchios, etkia, true etkia for Zichonos, etkia, true etkia for Shofros. Where do we learn this from? Well, the Torah writes the word Zichron Trua and Yom Trua. That's in the context of Rosh Hashanah. And when it comes to Yom Kippur of Yovel, it says Shofar, Vahavatav Shofar, Trua. So I see the word Trua three times. And it says Va'avarta shofar teruah b'chodesh ha'shvi'i and ta'aviru shofar b'chol ha'artzechem. So if it says teruah three times, and teruah is preceded by Va'avarta. Va'avarta means you should pass your breath through the shofar. So it says Va'avarta at the beginning and ta'aviru at the end, and the word teruah is in the middle. So that means there needs to be a regular sound, a straight sound, Va'avarta, before the true and after the true. And it says true three times, so I guess I have to do that three times. Tkia true tkia, three times, nine kolos. Rabbi Abo in Kesari, the Gemara says, made a takana, we should blow several more kolos, which now will amount to 30, because we have a suffix whether the true is what we call ginuche garach. It's a longer groan that a person has when he's very worried about something, what we call a shvarim, or it's yalule yalil. It's these staccato, very short sounds, which the shorter crying sounds, which come after the groan, and that's usually the order. So we're not sure what it is. So what do we do? So we have to blow tkia, trua, tkia for every definition of trua, whether it's a shvarim, the longer sounds, or the trua, which are the shorter sounds. And there's one opinion of the Gemara that maybe it's both. Maybe it's a shvarim and a trua. But we never do a trua shvarim because no one has shorter crying sounds before the groaning sounds. Groaning sounds always precede, ginuch and ganach always precedes the Yilule Yolil. But this will amount then to 30 kolos if I want to cover all the possibilities. And then the Mishnah says, Shir Tkia Kishalos Truos. Now we're talking about how long is the sound. When you blow that Tkia, how long are you supposed to hold it for? So the Mishnah says it's the sound is held for the amount of time it takes to blow three Truos. Now, what does that mean? So one explanation means that all the tkios, meaning the six tkios that we have, let's go back to the basics. We're blowing nine kolos. So out of those nine kolos, we've got six tkios and three truos. So the six tkios, the amount of how long they go should equal three truos. What does that end up being? That the sound, the length of a tkia is only the length of a half a trua. That's what that would mean. And others say, no, that's not what it means. It means the shiur, the amount, the length of the three first kios is the same length of the three truos that follow them. And of course, the shiur of the tkios that follow the trua will be the same as the tkios that preceded the trua. If that's the case, then the shiur, the length of tkia, is the length of a trua. And that's what we typically try to do to make sure our tkia and our trua are the same length. The tkia can be longer, but certainly should not be shorter. And then it says, that's very nice, but what's the shear of a trua? How long is that? What's the length of that? Then I'll know what a shear of tkia is. Shear a trua kishalosh yabavos. It's the length of three short sounds. Now, what does that mean? So there's a brisa that says in the Gemara, shear trua kishlosha shvarim. Now, shvarim are broken sounds like longer groans, what we call shvarim. So the Gemara says, it looks like we have a machlokas between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah thinks that the shiur of a trua are three very short sounds. And what would that mean? How long does it take to blow three short sounds? Very quickly, very easily. That means my tkia that precedes it is going to be shorter. And others say, no, there's no machlok. And the Braisa said shvarim, those are longer sounds. That's the shear of the trua. And others say, no, there's no machlokas here. When the Braisa says the shear of a trua is three shvarim, and our Mishnah says it's the length of three yabavos, which are yabava, are shorter staccato sounds. So all that means is that each yabava is, this is what it means. It means each of those yabava are three short sounds. And what it means is the following, that the shear of the trua is equal to shalosh yabavos. Not that the whole trua is equal to three yabavos. No, it means that the shear of the trua is three yabavos, which ends up being, if you're telling me now that it's three shvarim, so it ends up being nine 9 short sounds altogether. That's what it means. And that's how we can reconcile each yabava is 3 shorter sounds. So when we say 3 yabavos, we really mean 9 sounds. And that's what we do. Taka barishona, person blew the first tkia. What does it mean, the first tkia? It means, really means the tkia after the trua. But now he wants that tkia to count for the next set. So you blew a tkia, then a trua. Now you'll blow a long tkia, and I want that tkia to count. It's going to be so long, it'll be my last tkia for this set and the first tkia for the next set. Umashach b'shnia k'shtayim, and you did it so long, this second tkia so long after the trua that it's the length of 2 tkios. And biyado el achas, this tkia only counts as one, as the tkia after the trua. You have to blow another tkia to be the first tkia of the next set. Says the Mishnah, mi shebeirach, couldn't resist. A person who davened already the 9 brachos of Tfilach Musaf. Tfilach Musaf is 9 brachos. It's the typical 7 of a Shabbos or a Yontif. Remember, Malchios doesn't count because Malchios was either included in Kedushas Hashem or, like our halacha says, Kedushas Hayom. And then, so the only additional brachos we have are Zohar HaBris, which is Zichronos, and Kiyat HaShemeah Kol Tzuras HaMoseh Barachamim, which is Shofros. So there are 9 brachos in the Musaf Shemona Esrei. Keneged, the 9 we have a Keneged Chana, as the Gemara says. And then from Chana's Tefillah. And then we have, what happened here? We have a person who already davened Musaf. And he didn't have a shofar to blow Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofars during the Musaf, during Chazaras HaShatz, etc. V'acharkach nismanalo. And then nismanalo shofar, he found this shofar. So what should he do now? Should we say there's no point in blowing shofar because shofar is supposed to be along with the Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros? So says the Mishnah, tokea umeiria v'tokea shalosh poimim. You should blow the tkia, trua tkia, 3 times. One keneged Malchus, one keneged Zichronos, one keneged Shofros. Of course, today we would do 10 sounds for each in order to cover ourselves because we're not sure what the true is. Is it a shvarim? Is it what we call a trua? Is it a shvarim trua? So, but then you have to do 10, 10, and 10. Here it says a 3, 3, and 3. And this way you cover yourself and it shows you that the davening is not ma'akev, which means that you can blow shofar independent of the davening. In fact, we do that today. We blow tkios de miyushav without musaf and then tkios al seda habrachos afterwards. Then Mishnah says, Geshem shesh Shliach Tzibur Chayev, just like the Shliach Tzibur is Chayev on Rosh Hashanah to daven the Shmona Esrei, Kach Kol Yochid Yochid Chayev in Tefillah. What does it mean? Mishnah is teaching if you know how to daven, so then you should not be Yotzei with the Shliach Tzibur. The Shliach Tzibur in the past, the Chazar Sashatz was to discharge people's obligation if they didn't know how to daven. That only works if you don't know how to daven. Today we don't do that at all, but we say Chazar Shatz, but no one discharges the obligation of Chazar Shatz nowadays. But even in the olden days, if you knew how to daven Shmona Esrei, you should not be Yotzei with the Shliach Tzibur. If you're a bucky, you have to daven yourself. But Rami Gamliel Omer, Shliach Tzibur, Motzi Es HaRabi Midei Chovasan. He says, he holds that a Shliach Tzibur can be Motzi, the public, the community, in their Shmona Esrei, and everyone can just stand there and listen. And that's true whether it's Rosh Hashanah or whether it's Tefillah over the rest of the year. So we assume as the halacha, a compromise shita. When it comes to Shmona Esrei of the rest of the year, we follow the chachamim that a shliach tzibur should not be motzi anyone who doesn't know how to daven. But on Rosh Hashanah, which has many long brachos, and many people are not a bucky, even if you are a bucky, we follow in Gamliel that the Rambam rules this way in Hilchos Tefillah Paraches that a shliach tzibur can be motzi even in bucky who cannot daven. Why should we try to daven our own? So Yerushalmi says it's logical. Kol echad mivakesh racham emalatzmo. Everyone should try to ask for mercy for themselves.